On this morning, we are here once again in Genesis chapter 41. And let's pray before we begin. Father, we are so thankful for your goodness, Lord, for the many blessings you bestow upon us, Lord. And Father, there's none greater, Lord, than your word, Lord, because through it we find the way of salvation. Father, we are so thankful. We ask once again that you would open our eyes to your word. May we see the Lord Jesus Christ once again here in this chapter of Genesis 41. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, once again, Pharaoh here in Genesis 41 has had a set of dreams. And again, none of the wise men of Egypt, none of the magicians in Egypt were able to interpret those dreams. And we saw how Joseph was brought out of the prison to interpret those dreams. And last week we saw how all of that pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Bible says in Genesis 41 verse 25, "And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do." And so then Joseph begins to interpret his dreams. The Bible says in verse 33, "Now therefore let Pharaoh," Joseph speaking, "now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over the land of Egypt. Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt." We have looked in Genesis 37, in Genesis 39, Genesis 40, and now here in Genesis 41, over and over and over again at the many particulars and the many details in which Joseph pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, here again in this passage. In this passage, we find that Joseph here is a wonderful counselor. In this passage here, we find that it is a wise thing to follow the counsel of Joseph. In this passage, we find that all those who follow Joseph's counsel live. And all those who ignore his counsel or who will ignore his counsel will die. In this passage, we find that Joseph is exalted over all but the first throne. We see here also that Joseph is exalted because of his worth. The Bible says that Pharaoh recognizes that the Spirit of God is upon Joseph. In this passage, we find that Joseph possesses the very wisdom of God. In this passage, again, we also find that Joseph is placed to rule over the people and over the house of Pharaoh. And so his authority and his glory, we find in verse 43, were publicly recognized. He was invested with all power and all the honor that was worthy of his new position. And in this passage, we find that all those, again, who entered into the presence of Joseph will bow the knee before him. Can any fail to see the Lord Jesus Christ in this picture, in this chapter? He's there. Here's Pharaoh. He has just heard the interpretation of his dreams, and Pharaoh speaks, and he says in verse 38, if you would, "And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" And the answer would be, yes! His name is Jesus. Amen? Look with me, if you would, in Isaiah chapter 9. And again, we're going to look at the many particulars in which Joseph pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 9, if you would. Isaiah chapter 9. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9 in verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Now notice, the one who takes the government and puts it on his shoulder, that is, what is that? That is, he's going to carry the load. All right, he's going to do the work. All right, look again here in Genesis 41. Joseph in Egypt here is a picture of someone who would come into the world and take the governments of the world and put them upon his shoulder. The one who will do that, Isaiah chapter 9 says, is Wonderful. The one who will do that is called Counselor with a capital C there. Why? Because he will solve all counselor. He's going to solve all the legal problems of the world. He's going to solve all the problems of disagreements, all the problems of discord. He is the Counselor. Now, you know who he is? Well, he's not just the man. You know who he is? He's not just a great teacher or a great leader or a prophet. He is, the Bible says, Isaiah 9, the mighty what? God. The mighty God manifested in a body of flesh. Look with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 2. Notice what the Bible says here. Colossians chapter 2. And so again, here we see Joseph in Genesis chapter 41, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. How? He's a counselor. The Bible says here in Colossians chapter 2, if you would. Colossians chapter 2, we'll begin reading in verse 2. The Bible says that their hearts may be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. Now, how's that for a verse on the Trinity? I mean, you know, we've got the Father, we've got Christ. You understand, folks, there's some people who say that the Holy Spirit is not God. All right? So, but what does the verse say? It says, the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. That's the Trinity. Right there, there's the Father, there's the Son, and there's God, the Holy Spirit. Verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so, as Joseph is given the government of Egypt, it is placed upon his shoulders, and God gives him wisdom, so he knows what to do to save the people during those 7 years of famine. But I've got better news for you. The Lord Jesus Christ has all the wisdom of God, and he has all the knowledge of God. And so when he takes the government of the whole earth upon his shoulder, he'll know exactly what to do. Amen. Not only is he a wonderful counselor, not only does he have the wisdom of God, but those that are wise will follow his counsel. Genesis 41, we see there. But look with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that are wise will follow his counsel. Matthew chapter 7, The Bible says this in verse 28, Matthew 7, verse 28. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Why? For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. That's what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the difference of the way he taught and the way the scribes taught and the Pharisees. You say, well, what were the scribes doing? Well, I'll tell you what they were doing. Again, there is nothing new under the sun. They were casting doubt upon the Word of God. And instead of teaching the people what God said, they were teaching and saying, well, what the rabbi said. You know, because, well, you know, there's a lot of contradictions in these books here, and so nobody can really do anything more than just do the best you can. And it's still going on today. And so what happened? You would go to the synagogue, a man would go to the synagogue, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees were arguing about whether or not there was a resurrection. You say, why was that happening? Why? They did not believe the Word of God. They did not believe. They were arguing, is there really a hell? Is there a literal hell? You say, why? Because they did not believe this book. And so they had corrupted the sacrifices. They had corrupted the offerings. They had corrupted the feast days. And you say, why did that happen? They did not believe the Word of God. And so some people were following this group of Pharisees. Some were following that group and the Sadducees and the scribes. And Paul even said, you know, I was of the strictest of the Pharisees. And he was. And then the Lord Jesus Christ shows up and says, thus saith the Lord. And people said, man, nobody preaches like that. I mean, that reminds you of John the Baptist. Why? Jesus, what was he doing? He was preaching the Word of God. And folks, you understand, Joseph didn't say, well, you know, I think there's a good possibility that there might be 7 good years, but it's just, you know, subject to your interpretation. That's not what he did. He said, God said there's 7 good years coming, but there's 7 bad years following that. And that's what it is. And the magicians couldn't figure it out. The wise men couldn't figure it out, couldn't get it right. But when Joseph walked in there, he said, God, we read it there, God's going to show Pharaoh what he's about to do. This is it. And Pharaoh realized, boy, nobody else talks like this guy. I think I better pay attention to him. I think I better listen. Why? He knew in his heart that Joseph was speaking with the authority of God. And so, when the Lord Jesus Christ shows up, those Pharisees hated him. The Sadducees hated him. The scribes hated him. But you know what they did not do? They never challenged the authority of the scriptures that the Lord Jesus Christ was quoting to them. They never challenged, I mean, yes, they challenged him personally. They challenged his followers personally. They challenged his reputation, his motives, but they could not challenge the authority of his word. Did not happen. Now, you know what that mighty, wonderful counselor said? He said, ye must be born again. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Look, he didn't say, you know, it might be this way, or, you know, some people think it's going to be this other way. He spoke with absolute authority of the Word of God. And that's the one you want to put the government upon his shoulders. That's the one. You understand, when Jesus comes back, he's going to take the whole thing and put it on his shoulders, and he's going to put the government of this world upon his shoulders, and that's a blessing. That's a blessing. Next thing we see in Genesis 41, don't turn there, but we see how Joseph was exalted above all but the first throne, above everybody else but the first throne. Look with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 3. Bible says here in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 22, the Bible says, "Who is gone into heaven?" Well, who is that? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the end of verse 21, if you would. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Now, you know where Jesus Christ is right now? Well, he's not in a tomb in Israel. He's not there. Folks, you understand that you could ride in your car, you could be at home, you could be on a boat fishing or whatever, you could be sitting in church this morning. It doesn't matter where you are. Anywhere you are in the face of this earth, you can lift up your eyes towards heaven and speak to the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you don't even have to look up. And so, what I'm saying is, you don't have to get directions. If you get lost in the woods, you don't have to get your bearings right and make sure that you're facing in the right direction. You know where he is. He's not in a tomb in Jerusalem. He's ascended and seated on the right hand of the Father. And that's a blessing. That is a blessing to know. And the Bible says here in verse 22, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Folks, listen, there is no one greater in the kingdom of heaven. There is no one greater in the kingdom of God but the Father himself. Everyone else is subject to the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is Joseph in Genesis 41. All right, now do come back with me, if you would, to Genesis 41, because I want you to notice here what Pharaoh says of Joseph there. Just so you can read the passage, but then we're going to come to a passage here in the New Testament in the book of Acts. But the Bible says in Genesis 41, again, in verse 38, Pharaoh says, he says this. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, "Can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" And so God's Spirit was manifest in Joseph. Look with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And so the Spirit of God was manifested in Joseph, and also the Spirit of God rested upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 10, if you would. Acts chapter 10, the Bible says in verse 38... it says, "And God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The Holy Spirit and the power thereof was upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ." If you think the Spirit of God was manifested in Joseph, how much more in Jesus Christ? How much more? Come back with me, if you would, to Genesis 41. And notice again here what Pharaoh says of Joseph here in Genesis 41, verse 39. "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." So notice, Joseph here ruled over the house, and Joseph here ruled over the people. Look with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. It's amazing. We say, yes, Joseph ruled over Egypt, and glory to God, Jesus is going to rule over all the earth one day. And we say, praise the Lord, Jesus is going to, when he comes, he's going to put down all those wicked governments, all those wicked heathen nations, and he's going to tell them what to do, and praise God, that'll be a great day. Can't wait for it. But you know what the Bible just said there in Genesis 41? The Bible said that Joseph also ruled over the house. Now, you know what church people want? They want Jesus to come back and straighten out Washington. But they don't want Jesus to walk through their front door and straighten out their home. Come on now. See, they want Jesus to come back and straighten out the United Nations, but they don't want Jesus to come and straighten out the living room. And they want Jesus to come back and stop all those wars, but they don't want Jesus to come and stop the war at home. Joseph ruled over Egypt, but he also ruled over the house. Look, if you would, here in Hebrews chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 4, "For every house is builded by some man. But he that built all things is God." How's that for evolution? See, somebody built everything you see. It doesn't just come together. Somebody built it. Verse 5, "And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end." The Lord Jesus Christ came down here and dwell among men. The Bible says he was faithful, and now he's got the rule over his own house. He's the ruler of the house. He's the head of the body. He's the head of the church. And you know who the church is. The church, you know who lives in the Lord's house? You know who makes up the Lord's family? Well, the Bible says we do. If you're saved, we do. You and I. You see, those of us who have put our trust and confidence and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't rule our own homes. We don't rule our own churches. There is a ruler over the house. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why local churches split up? Because sons and daughters are fighting over who's going to rule, who's going to run the house. And the Bible says that Christ ought to be the ruler of the house. You know why families get torn up? Because moms and dads are fighting over who's going to run the house. And parents and children fighting over who's going to run the house. And you know who's the ruler over the house? If you're saved and born again, it ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that's the case, he'll tell you what you ought to do. He'll tell you who you ought to invite over and who you ought to keep out and where you ought to go. Look, folks, if he's the ruler, he makes the rules. He tells the church what to sing. He tells the church how to sing. He tells the church what to do. He tells the church how to do it. Why? Because if he's the ruler, he makes the rules. See, here's what's wrong with our churches. Jesus is present, but he's not the ruler. You know what's wrong in our homes? Jesus is present, but he's not the ruler. He's not the ruler. Now, if we would shout glory to God that Jesus is fit to come and rule the United States, certainly, if he can handle that, he can handle your family. Certainly, if he can handle the United Nations, he can teach you how to raise your kids. Surely, if he can run the government of all the earth, he can handle your marriage. He can do it. But what we mean is, I want him to rule everybody else. But I don't want him minding my business. Amen? Look, Joseph was not only the ruler of the nation, he was the ruler of the house. Pharaoh said, "Can we find such a one as this?" I found him. I found him. His name is Jesus. Look with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, if you would. Not only did Joseph rule over the house, but he ruled over all the people. The Bible says here in Acts chapter 5 and verse 31. Acts chapter 5. Begin reading in verse 29. Then Peter and all the apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior." Notice, God not only exalted Jesus to be a savior, God exalted Jesus Christ so he could be a prince and a savior. Praise the Lord. Look, folks, you understand, if you're saved, you've been adopted into his family. You've been bought with a price. And you understand that if you trusted him, he's given you the power to become a son of God. Why? Because you've believed on his name, the Bible says. That's great. And that's wonderful. I'm an adopted son. I'm a bond servant. I'm a child of God here. And so I am not to run my own life. Why? Because I am not the ruler. Joseph was the ruler, not only over the nation. And you say, well, yeah, he's over the nation. That's okay. He was the ruler over the house. And you say, well, that's for some cause of some concern. And he was the ruler of everyone in the nation. And so that means that he was the ruler of everyone in the home. And there you get a little touchy. But here's something to think about, if you would. You understand that this world will not be blessed until the Lord Jesus Christ rules and reigns on earth. Is that not right? It will not. This nation we live in today will not be right until the Lord Jesus Christ shows up. We all acknowledge that. We will all agree. But then we say, your home will never be what it could be. And your life will never be what it should be until Jesus rules. And because again, he makes the rules, and people start thinking, well, there he goes again. And my answer is, aren't we so deceived by the devil? It's amazing. We know Jesus can fix America. We know Jesus can fix the world. We know that our homes and that our lives and our children, they need fixing. But we don't want to surrender and let the Lord Jesus Christ take over. We're deceived. We're deceived by the devil. Can you find the man Pharaoh was looking for? I believe he's fit to not only rule the world, he's fit to rule our homes. I believe he's fit to rule our lives. And folks, if Joseph could get everybody that came to him through that terrible time of famine, Jesus can get anybody and everybody that comes to him through whatever the storm, whatever the trouble, whatever the trial that comes in their life. I believe that. Not only that, but look with me, if you would, in Genesis 41. What the Bible says here. In Genesis 41, we read this. Verse 41. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. Folks, Joseph was given Pharaoh's ring. Joseph here is clothed in such a way that everyone that saw him would know he was the one. That is Joseph. You understand? You read about our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible says they stripped him naked and put him on a cross. But the next time you read about him, you see him in resurrection garments. The Bible says there at the crucifixion they put a crown of thorns upon him, but in Hebrews there, he's crowned in glory and honor, the Bible says. What I'm saying is when you and I set foot in heaven, you won't have to ask anyone which one is Jesus. You won't. Nobody came to Egypt and said, so who's Joseph anyway? Where is he at? Everybody knew Joseph. Why? He was high and lifted up. He was magnified. He was glorified to stand out above all the people. But I've got news for you. When we get to heaven, you'll know which one's the Lord. There won't be any question about it. Fanny Crosby sang, wrote the song. She didn't think she sang. She's saved by grace. Blind, but when she got to heaven, she knew she was going to know who the Lord was. I shall see him face to face. Great song. All right, one more thing here. In verse 43 of Genesis 41, the Bible says this. And he made him, Pharaoh, made him, Joseph, to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Can you picture the scene? Joseph is made to ride in the second chariot. And everywhere that Joseph went, those men went before him. And if they saw anyone nearby, they said, hey, bow the knee. Isn't that something? Joseph's coming. Bow the knee. And you know something? Everybody bowed the knee. Philippians chapter 2, if you would. Folks, this is Joseph, the one his brethren hated. This is Joseph, the one his brothers cast out. This is Joseph, the one that was thrown into a pit, the one that was sold into slavery, the one that was falsely accused, the one who was cast into prison and left for dead, forgotten. This is the one who God raised out of the dungeon. And now, everyone that comes into the presence of Joseph bows the knee before him. Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. See, that is Joseph in Potiphar's house. The form of a servant, the Bible says, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. That's Joseph serving the prisoners in prison. Humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. They said, when Joseph, the type, a type, when Joseph a picture of Jesus. When Joseph came by, they said, "Bow the knee." And so in the presence of Joseph, men bowed the knee. But folks, behold, a greater than Joseph is coming. And in Jesus' presence, it's not going to be bow the knee. The Bible says there in verse 10, it says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Think about that. Every knee. If you're on one knee, you're ready to get up. If you're on one knee, you're half standing. If you're on one knee, you're half bowed. And sure, Joseph, an honorable man, but he's just a man. You understand that? And sure, a man will bow the knee, but in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, every knee should bow. Why? Because he's more than a man. He's more than a man. Now, if the Bible's true, and I believe it is, but if the Bible's true, a man of his free will may bow his knees and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior and enjoy the blessings of heaven for all eternity, or a man can say, you know, I'll not have this man to rule over me, and reject the Lord Jesus Christ, and one day at the great white throne judgment, he'll bow the knee. He'll bow his knees and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so you can't sit there this morning and say, I'm not bow to Jesus, because you will. Man will. Every man that rejects the gospel will. You will bow to him now and receive his salvation, or you will bow to him later and receive your damnation. But you will bow your knees to Jesus Christ. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Pharaoh said, can we find such a one as this? And our answer to Pharaoh is, yes, we found him. His name is Jesus. And we'll gladly bow our knees in his presence. Lord Jesus Christ, there he is, once again in Genesis 41. We'll stop right there and we'll continue next week. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Father, it's amazing to see. And once again, we are just in awe of thy word. Here you are, Lord, once again, a picture of you in the life of Joseph. Father, I pray that as the men of Egypt heeded Joseph's word, I pray, Lord, that we would do the same. Father, I pray that we would let you, Lord, be the ruler of our lives, the ruler of our homes, the ruler of our marriages. Father, I pray, help us to be faithful. Faithful witnesses of thee, Lord. Help us to tell others, Lord, the good news of the gift of life that is provided through your Son. Thank you so much for your word, for your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.